Let me tell you a story as I start to wrap things up here. A few years ago, the church that I used to pastor and still attend was picketed by 30 protesters. Now, to give a little context for that, I should tell you that way back in 1980, we opened up our home to a pregnant teenager. And in 1989 and 1990, I intervened peacefully and nonviolently on behalf of unborn children at abortion clinics. I was arrested several times, sent to jail for a few days. I bet Calvin Miller's never been to jail. We spoke the truth in love. But as a result of speaking the truth in love, it was not a very popular thing. I was a pastor, loved being a pastor, had no plans to do anything else, even though it was very hard for me to do the writing I wanted to do while being a pastor. But as a result of what we were doing, we were sued. We had several lawsuits, one of them for $8.2 million. Now, when I was a pastor, $8.2 million was more than I made in a year. This is a lot of money, and so a lot of things were happening. What I had to end up doing was resign, step away from pastoral ministry, because they were coming to the church to garnish my wages from the church. So I knew that from that point forward, I would only be able to make minimum wage, because by Oregon law, minimum wage is not garnishable. So all of a sudden, we're on our own, and we're going, okay, lost the job, not doing what I thought I was going to be doing the rest of my life. Lord, what do you want us to do? And he opened up the door to a number of things, but one of the things was to really write. Now, I can say that in retrospect, but at the time, it was not so easy. But one of the great blessings was that we took all of my book royalties, and which I could no longer take, and we put them into our ministry, Eternal Perspective Ministries, which in essence became its 501c3, a nonprofit organization which some people support. But the royalties would all go to it, and we committed ourselves to give away a minimum of 90%, and actually for the last 5 years it's been 100% of all royalties coming in from the books would go to God's kingdom, would go to missions work, to a pro-life work, to prison ministry, to all these different things. And I got to tell you something. Back in the days when we used to get our royalties, they weren't very big. But, you know, sometimes God, just in his sense of humor, has an interesting way of when it went over to him suddenly, and this is not going to be in a formula of how to write a bestseller. There's never going to be, give it all to God and then see what he does with it. But we stayed with Francine Rivers and Rick, her husband, the other night on our way here. And Francine was saying her book, Redeeming Love, she says, that's my first fruits book. It all, 100%, goes to the Lord, and God has done things with that book that he's not done with other books. Some of you know that, with Redeeming Love. And you know, there's something to consider, because there's a lot of us. Some of us have to, you know, write and have our income to live on. Some of us don't need to. It's a second thing that we can take that and we can dedicate it to the Lord. And that may be what God is calling you to do, but we've had the joy, by God's grace, and I can say this to his glory, in the last 4 years of being able to give away $600,000 of royalties to his kingdom to support work all over the world, to feed the hungry in the name of Christ, and we don't feel like we've sacrificed at all. We do just fine. But we thank God for the way he orchestrated our lives and used the difficult situation in order to accomplish his purpose in our lives and also in my writing career. So let me finish then with the illustration. That was the background. The church that I used to pastor, that was picketed by 30 protesters a few years ago. Why? Because some of our people go down to abortion clinics and they offer alternatives. They share the gospel, hold up signs, say, consider adoption, let your baby live, we'll help financially, things like that. So, three pro-abortion groups decided to join forces and give our church a taste of our own medicine. And so on a rainy Sunday morning, our church parking lot was invaded by three groups who called themselves Radical Women for Choice, Rock for Choice, and this is their name, I'm not being facetious saying this, is their name for themselves, the Lesbian Avengers. Okay, so I'm willing to bet that most people at Mount Herman Conference are not members of any one of those three groups. But at any rate, hearing they were coming, we decided we're going to serve them donuts and coffee. We're going to set up this thing and all this good stuff. We're going to reach out to these people. These are people that you'd plan an outreach to go to. And they're coming to us. So they come, they've got their signs that are saying all of these terrible things about us and all this. And it's so great because our people are driving their cars in and looking at these signs and going, gee, we must be doing something right. And so we had the opportunity to talk at length with people. One of them I shared Christ with for an hour and a half. And by the way, truth puts us in difficult positions. Grace puts us in difficult positions because the person I was sharing Christ with was holding a sign that says, keep abortion legal. Which, in my belief system, I don't know about yours, would be pretty much equivalent to holding up a sign that says, kill Jews or kill black people. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But he's holding the sign, and this is an opportunity for me to extend grace. It's raining, so I'm holding an umbrella over him. We're sharing the gospel with him, and had a great follow-up, exchanged letters later, sent him some books. And you know, that whole deal, that was great. Okay, this guy was Charles, but there were also some of the women that we had opportunities to talk with. But there was a group of people who showed up that had heard the activists were coming, and they decided that they were going to kind of come in and advocate on our behalf or on the side of truth. There were some street preachers, very conservative in theology, and they showed up to kind of counter-confront. So what happened was this. They had their signs, and some of us, including myself, took them aside and said, hey, look, I really appreciate every one of your signs. Everything that says is true. All that stuff about hell, you know, it's very accurate theologically. Okay, but here's the thing. This maybe isn't the time and the place for it, and, you know, they're picketing us, not you. So how about we deal with them? They're our guests, you know, and we'll deal with them, guests in the broadest sense of the term. So we'll deal with them, and so we did. And then some of them were kind of upset with us, but most of them understood. All right, the next Sunday morning, drove into the parking lot, and we were picketed again. For the second time in our 21 unpicketed years, we were picketed, this time by the street preachers who thought that it had been totally inappropriate for us to give donuts and coffee to people who needed to be rebuked. So here's my bottom line with grace and truth. Some people hate truth. Some people hate grace. Our church was picketed 2 weeks in a row, and only those 2 weeks. First, by radically liberal non-believers for speaking the truth. Secondly, by radically conservative believers for showing grace. There are going to be some people that aren't going to like it when you tell the truth. I get letters from people all the time that don't like that. There are going to be some people that don't like it when you show grace. I get those letters too. And I think probably in Christian writing, one of our big goals might be to try to get a fairly good balance of critical letters from people who think we're telling too much truth and showing too much grace.